Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is my anointing that breaks the yoke, saith the Spirit of grace. For my word and my spirit, they are one. For even as you've heard my word and labored in my word, and many of you appreciated the promises of truth and soundness of doctrine and walking in truth, know this, that I come to verify my word with presence. I come to bring forth a continual verification and consecration of your spirit to these things, to bring you in. For it is my protection that I hold you in. And it is my anointing that breaks the yoke. So therefore, enter into my anointing. Lay down every burden and the weight and the sin that would so easily beset you. My blood, the reason why, the very reason why that many radical messages have come forth in the earth is that men have yet to understand the power of my blood and the cleansing power. When men take it in another direction and try to fortify themselves with their own doctrines, it is because they've not understood how that in a moment's time, over every weakness, when true repentance comes, how thoroughly that blood cleanses. And because this has not been understood, man must build his own source of defense and his own reckoning of peace. But I say unto you, my anointing teaches you all things. It is teaching you my love. So enter into my love. And as you enter into my love, freedom comes. Freedom comes. Freedom comes, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're just going to worship the Lord a little bit more here, quite a bit more. And I saw a bunch of people, not just a few, but a bunch of people standing on the edge of something. It was like, wasn't something bad, it was something good. They wanted to jump off into something. And they needed a little bit more. And that little bit more that they needed was the Holy Spirit, was the anointing. He's here for that purpose. I would love to just simply pass on what is on me this morning to you. If you're in that place where you're already seeking God for the next step in your life and you know that it is the anointing and not the help of man, but the anointing that will take you into that next place of His glory, then you need to come and stand. You need to come and stand and just let me pray over you. And don't be in a hurry to leave. Find yourself on the floor, don't be in a hurry to leave. We're in the classroom of the Holy Spirit this morning. But right now, I'm just going to let you respond. Let's worship. Let's continue to just worship. We just worship you, Jesus. Just lift it up. Just lift it up, your voice of praise, and magnify Him. We exalt you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just had a quick word I wanted to share with you because the Lord's, He's just so faithful and kind. And a scripture that I look into sort of regular and think about and meditate as this line was going on, I just felt to look at it. And so thankful, Jesus. So it's Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you know, in my Bible there's some red letters. You know, we got lots of red letters in the Gospels, and then the epistles there's only a few. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in response to a request that Paul made, for help, Jesus said something interesting. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. Know this, my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And so, you know, for years I've looked into that. And still today, you know, something that hinders us at times is our vocabulary and how we understand words. And so, my grace is sufficient. Still, knowing what I know through meditation and all the good things God has brought into our lives, I read my grace is sufficient, and something still tries to limit that word sufficient to adequate. That Jesus is saying, my grace is adequate. That's all you really need. So whatever's going on, just know my grace is adequate. But that's not what he's saying. Sufficient fills up. Sufficient means it fills the whole thing up. He's saying my grace is everything. What's going on around you is what's going on around you. Walk in my grace. It's everything that you need. It's not adequate. It doesn't just get you through. It's everything. It's everything to fulfill you and to flow out of you into others. Amen. And he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Well, what's he talking about there? You know, is he giving us an excuse that our failings are okay? He's not doing that. He's not saying that. He said, Paul, you got to understand this. You have no ability to do what I'm asking you to do. You have no ability except what I supply you. So right where the last little bit of your ability gives way, my strength is made perfect in you. And you operate in me. Now, he's so good. He's filling us with grace all along to get us to a place to surrender and give over and enter into fullness of rest with no striving. Because our strength will keep us in a place of striving where we're thinking about things rather than praying about things. Right? Where we're manipulating situations with good intention and sometimes not. Rather than giving way to the grace of God and operating in power. Amen? So, that's all that was going on in the back. Goes on a lot, actually. I love that verse. Because I realize more and more, the more I know him, I truly have no ability to do what he's asking. Except what he gives me. Except through acts of kindness and love that he leads me into, that build up a structure, build up a strength in me that's got momentum, that carries in through my day and starts breaking through areas where I lack the ability to love. So I'm standing here in this line, you know, I just meditating that back in the back. Because when the line was called, I didn't really feel any leading to come up. It's like, okay, Lord, you know, I hear it, and I know I need it, but I want to hear you in this. So he took me to that scripture, and I started meditating it, and I could feel the anointing come on me then to come up here and receive and join with what was going on here. So I'm standing somewhere right here, and I know Bront was down there by the sound, and the Lord gave me a song. He gave me a song. He said, He interpreted the word sufficient as everything. And so the song was something like, and it was cool because it was right with what was getting played. It was like, your everything is what I need to do everything that you see. Your everything is what I need to do everything that you see. Amen. So within a couple of minutes, you heard what Bronk said by the Spirit of the Lord. Keep singing. And I shared the song with my wife before all that happened. I said, the Lord just gave me a song. And I shared the song with her, and then I sat there and sang it. And so I felt like the Lord said then, encourage the body with that. His everything's what we need to do everything that He sees. Because He's leading us into places of love that we don't even see yet. And we can define some of those things by the Word for sure. And we know that's true. But on a personal level, in the places that our own hearts are challenged every day, in our families, in our workplace, in our church, at the store, our own hearts are challenged, and the Lord knows those places. And He's not angry with those places. He's not disappointed with those places. Unless you're in raw disobedience, and then there's a place there the Lord can be unhappy with. But even with that, He's much more interested in bringing you through it. He's not ever condemning you over those things. He'll just lay some conviction on you that can be pretty uncomfortable, obviously. But He's so interested in your heart. He's so interested in the things that make you tick. The places that aren't like anybody else. And thank God, by the Spirit of the Lord, somebody can minister by His Spirit to things that they don't have any idea about. Because the Lord wants to speak to us very intimately. First, face to face, and by His Word. And then through the day, things that strangers may speak, things that pastors may speak, things that your brothers and sisters in Christ will speak. But He's interested in you. He's interested in your heart. He knows your weakness. He knows the places that you're not able. And it's okay in the sense of that He knows. And He just wants to lead you past, lead you through. Give you the everything that you need to do everything that He sees. Everything that He desires. To bring you into a true place of love and freedom. Amen.
I think the making of my life, and probably most of everybody that I am speaking to this morning, so oftentimes hinged on those very moments that Matt, through the Holy Spirit, was admonishing us about, is that it really is a decision. And even in the decision to go forward, it's not you making the decision by yourself. And I'm not talking about the decision to accept Christ. Primarily, I'm speaking to a bunch of people that did that a long time ago. I'm talking about those sometimes multiple in a day's time, and sometimes once every great once in a while, where there has to be a heart decision on the inside of you that says, I choose. Not out of the emotion, not out of anything that I can see in the natural, and especially not out of my strength, but I choose that Jesus is right. He's not a liar. His word is true. And if I will continue to go forward and believe that He is everything that He says He is, on the other side of this, there's dominion. There's peace. And it seems like grace takes us to that place, and there is a line. It's like that choice out of our weakness, as this perfectly said, out of our weakness, there comes strength. And I want to encourage you today that whatever you've received, carry it. Allow Him to harbor it inside of you. Let that peace that passes understanding continue to just incubate it. But also know this, that it's also a continual decision. And our victory rides on that. Our continual, where we're going to be at 20 years from now in the Lord. And how strong you're going to be 5 years from now. The victories that you're going to be have won. The battles that you're going to have walked past. It's going to be a place of, I love that place in the book of Hebrews where it says that now that we've received the promise, and now I'm paraphrasing, but it says you need patience that you may inherit the promise. And that's the deal. Sometimes it's just, okay, what I received here and what I already have in my life, I choose to carry it. I choose to carry it. I'm going to carry it today. I'm going to carry it tomorrow. And I don't care what evidence He comes with concerning my body, concerning my finances, concerning my relationship with my wife or my husband. If you're in a situation this morning where your home is not in the order that you want to see it in, if you've got children that are out there in the world, if you've got grandchildren that are out there in the world, do not relent. Do not step back. Keep going forward. Keep confessing truth. Keep speaking the mind of Christ. Believe this, that the anointing does break the yoke. And the power of God is so often, if not more often, just in the power of a decision. A calculated, God-given by grace decision to say, I choose that God is truth. And I'm going to stand over my home. I'm going to stand over my marriage. I'm going to stand over my body. This region of Florida is scheduled for a revival. And I say that the revival is now. I say the revival is now. We're not foolish enough to believe we're the only ones. If He's been speaking to our hearts for 16 years, He's got to be speaking to other people's hearts. And we're going to be like connected like a whole bunch of dots. When it's all said and done, the glory of God's going to spill over on them and on us, and a great harvest is going to take place. God's been having me speak recently on some heresy or some fallacies. I love those people more than I've ever loved them. And we'll continue to speak that as God tells us. But our number one theme is this, Jesus Christ. So if He takes us for a little season and we speak on things, that was Paul's forte a lot of time. He had to. I bet he didn't enjoy it, but he had to. I have to be obedient. But I can promise you this by the Holy Ghost, our theme is not going to always be talking about what you shouldn't listen to or should hear. Our theme is going to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the glory of God and the power of God over this house and the true grace. We were talking about grace Friday night, and Reuben was talking about it's the power He was interpreting out of his spirits the power to go forward, to live right, to do. Listen. I'm so glad you came this morning. Would you lift up your hands with me? Father, we don't know how to say thanks good enough. I thank you, Lord, that you gave me speech. And you gave me at least somewhat of a command of the language that I understand. But it is so inadequate. It fails me to say how much I love you. It fails me to say how thankful I am of what you've given us and what you continue to give us. Lord, if there's any request that I can make, bind us together, Lord. Lord, bind us together through this process that the love of God will be so strong that our brothers and sisters in this house will cherish each other with an unfailing love. Bind our hearts together until the day that we receive Christ on the earth. And Lord, while it is today, we call this house Bethel, the house of God, the house of prayer. We pray that the incense of prayer will go up to God 24/7. We pray that you'll place it in our hearts. Father, we do not give excuses of why we cannot, but we thank you for more grace. And Lord, we pray the hour comes where on this property there will be teams of people and places and stations of people that will continue to lift up God, continue to lift up our city, continue to lift up our government, continue to lift up for the outpouring. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we pray that you'll speak to every man's heart this morning concerning giving. Your grace, it seasoned every part of the Word of God. Your grace was even found in giving. Paul witnessed the grace of God and testified, said that grace came upon the churches of Macedonia, that to their ability and beyond their ability, they were willing to give. So I pray, Father, that this same grace come upon this house. I pray that this same grace will come upon this house and that you will speak to our hearts, not only now, but in the days ahead. That there will be a continual yielding of our hearts to the giving, to the blessing, to the part that you want us to play, be a part of. Speak to the hearts of the men and women this morning as they prepare their hearts to give. Holy Spirit, not myself, but you. Speak, we pray. Now I ask you to listen. I ask you to be a part of this. Jesus. Just whatever you say. Whatever you confirm. We bless it. We bless it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be in prayer this week for Jim and Kathy Martin that are coming next Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful time. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to put the offering baskets up here. We're just going to worship God. I'm going to bless you. Just let God's atmosphere continue to just rest over this house. If you have something to give this morning, please bring it forward before you leave. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Father, I bless them. I bless them. you know that God did something in our altar service today, and it wasn't planned by man, but if you receive something, or if you just receive something sitting out there, would you just please stand? Let's just stand together and lift our hands and give all the glory to God. Father, we just love you. We just give all the glory to you. Mockley is saved. Mockley is in revival. This region of Florida is in revival. This worship remain upon us all this day, all this week. We bless you, Jesus. We commit them unto you. Hallelujah.
Jesus. One real quick thing that keeps going over in my spirit. It's a lot of grace that comes from obedience, and a lot of times there's confusion about what obedience is, because obedience comes from hearing by the Holy Spirit the words of the Father. And that's why we pray in tongues excessively, not because, you know, that in itself is anything. It just quiets you down to where you can start training your ear to hear when the Holy Spirit speaks. And you get it wrong a lot, and it's fun to do, because we call it a trip to the barbershop. But there are times when it's not a trip to the barbershop. And one of the times that I keep remembering in this service, I'm thinking a few years ago, maybe four, we were up here and it was praise teams up here. And I don't know who said it. Might have been Pastor. I think it was, but I'm not sure. I'd have to go back through and read. But the Holy Spirit said, the kind of glory that I want to pour out, or the type of glory we were longing for, maybe, was could only come through singing in the Spirit. We could only break through certain things that way. And to be obedient to that is hard, because you can't just... Sometimes it's hard just to go singing in the Spirit, because you kind of need to, I mean, you don't need to feel something, but you do feel like you want an anointing there. You just don't want to be running around singing in the Spirit, because, I mean, you can, but, you know, that's real special. But times like this, I was reminded of that, and so I was real obedient to it because I remembered. And I'm not saying it to say, like, if you didn't catch that, you were bad, but actually good. Because we go back through the prophecies a lot of times. I'll listen to them, I'll read them, because I want to catch those little things, because the Holy Spirit, He'll give me a little something to do. And then there's other things that He'll give us corporately. And when I'm here, I want to make sure I'm trying to do that. And it takes time. And there have been, over the years, several things that He's said to this body corporately that were very helpful. The reason why my family comes down here and worships isn't because of any other reason, other than one time the Holy Spirit said, and it was a small service, and He said, if you come down here, it'll be better for you. And I didn't know what it meant or why, but I just said, you know what? I had seared my conscience at home in a lot of areas, so there was a lot of things I was unable to be obedient to because I was so disobedient everywhere else. And it was like I needed something so badly that I could do. And because the corporate setting is easier to hear sometimes, that was so easy to grab onto, because it was like, we can do that. And so we grabbed it with everything we had. So we'll like stand down here and just hang on to that. Even though that was about 8 years ago, it's like we hung on to that with all we had. And then so we could hear more, so grace could continue to come. But that praying in the Spirit, that's, we don't get to do that very often. And when it does come, it's a real breakthrough. And I was expecting it at home because there were things going on, and I felt we were heading into a new type of fight. And so we really need to get past where we're at, because if we stay like we are, this next fight that comes, it might get squashed in this one, because I felt like it was real strong coming. But it was all right. We went through. We didn't, you know, stick with a religious program, and we followed the leading of the Spirit. You could see the anointing over there just go off the charts. I mean, what Harry's receiving, I don't even know what he's doing. He's doing good, though, isn't he? And I don't know who's teaching him. Somebody's teaching him. I hope it's the Holy Spirit, because he's doing a real good job. But that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, ma'am.
When we were standing right here receiving our word, and actually before, I could just hear everybody just praying in the Spirit. I couldn't hear words. All I could hear was just praying in the Spirit, and it was just intensifying. And it just seemed like we were standing here, and everything was being lifted up and just totally just encircling, just encompassing both of us, just the strength. It was incredible. And it was Jim Martin that taught us in July of 2008. He was here and he taught us about singing in the Spirit. It was very, very just a strong teaching. But I always remember, it comes naturally to us to want to sing in the Spirit. We do it a lot at home. And when we don't want to battle with the word, meditating the word in other ways, singing in the Spirit, just pacing our home, the Miriam dance, just doing that, and just, it's part of the battle. It's part of what we can use to fight the battle.
That's good. So good. Thank you.
Amen. Well, that's obedience to the word, to sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. Amen.
Yes.
So do it. It's awesome. Unlock your heart, and it'll take you. You know what we get here is an overflow of what we do at home, amen. But I just don't want to be long, because I could go long with this. I could go really long. So pray. But when Maria said it was heavenly, it was. It wasn't like it was heavenly. It was heavenly. And let me just encourage you in worship. God's greatest desire is to dwell with man. He didn't create us because he had to. He wanted to. He was joyful in the Trinity, in the fellowship of the Trinity. There was a joy to love, and for love to be expressed, and for that love to be shared. And so he, out of that desire, he created us to be family and to be together forever. And if you use that as the backdrop for your Bible meditation, you'll see it's clear in the Scripture from the beginning. God dwelt with man, and in the end, God dwells with man.
Yes.
That is his desire. And he's joyful over that. As I encouraged you earlier, there's that place of we must be obedient. There's no excuse for disobedience. There's none. But he wants to give us grace to be obedient.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But the thing is, he desires heaven and earth to be one. And so our worship services are a place. You can see it through the entire Old Testament, right in through the New Testament. The convergence of heaven and earth.
Yes.
Right? The priesthood, when they went into the Holy of Holies, heaven came to earth.
Yes.
We are the royal priesthood of the Lord. We are a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
Before God. And so when we come before him with the offerings of our heart, his greatest desire is to dwell with us. Not just to our benefit, but because he enjoys us. He loves us. Right?
Yes.
So that's what our worship services are.
That's right.
The throne room of God is a real place. He's not a million miles away. And
that's right.
And oh wait, there's a sound. Let me. Maybe not. It's not like that. There's a real throne room, a real throne. God is sitting on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand. There's lightnings and thunderings and voices crying out, holy, holy, holy. That's going on night and day.
Yes.
Night and day, because he's worthy. And when we join in with that, not because of the song or the lack of, but because our hearts are in union with him, by the understanding that we get from His Word and by the communion of the Spirit.
Yes.
The convergence of heaven and earth is His desire.
That's right.
He's not waiting to see if we get it right. It's more or less up to us to enter into a place with Him. Okay, by truth and by the engagement with that truth, that throne is real.
Yes.
And I'll say this too. I want to encourage you this. Who knows when the elders throw down their crowns? I shared this with Melody the other day. We had fun. What do the elders throw down their crowns in front of? The throne, obviously, but why? In response to the song that the angels sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And I use that sometimes to encourage my own worship, because there's something that happens when I hear Miss Candy worship. Right?
Yes.
As we engage with the truth of God and who He is, it stirs others.
Yes.
Now, granted, the elders are responding to who God is, but it says at the sound of the song, Holy, 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 they cast their crowns. Mm. And that...
Hallelujah.
Elizabeth, when she heard Mary's voice, the baby jumped in her womb.
That's right.
There's a response that we get. We engage with God, but when I engage with God, it produces a response in other people. That's a responsibility too that we can't lay. We just lay it on somebody in a heaviness, and forgive my rambling.
That's good.
Just understand what we're doing is a beautiful thing. It's God's desire to dwell with us.
Yes.
And if we can just respond to Him and our worship services be that. I encourage you, meditate the scenes of heaven, the throne room settings. That's what's going on. We come in sometimes, myself included, so dull. Because we're not engaging with Him. There's grace. He knows.
Yes.
And His desire isn't to stay at a distance because of that. His desire is to draw me into a place. Look at me, Matt. I'm beautiful. I love you. And that convergence of heaven and earth is a real place. And that's what worship is.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
I'm not going to ramble on. I'm not going to hold you but a half a second. I'm just going to give you one word that God gave me to give to you this morning. If you were born again yesterday or this morning or even during the service today, you have a heart to receive everything that God has done for you this morning. And everything that He has done, He's done it inside. It's an inside work of the Spirit of God. And He says that I perform that inside of you. But the word that I would like to leave with you this morning and for you to go home and think about, because I don't know where your thoughts go and I don't know where each and every one is with God. But the word God wanted me to give you was that every one of you in here, everyone, no one is excluded. You are good ground.
Hallelujah.
He said, every one of you is very good ground.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
This morning in my meditation, I was also reading about singing, you know, and this is what I was reading this morning. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I don't think it's coincidence that we're talking about singing in the Spirit. And I was reading this morning that it's, you know, it's what you were saying about coming together, you know, about that God is uniting us.
Yes.
That God is a, you know, one family.
That's right.
Because this is what we're talking about today, and this is what I was reading about this morning, about that God delights in us singing.
Yes.
You know, and I've read in Psalms that He sits on our praises.
Hallelujah.
you know, we have to continue to praise Him even through our trials.
Yes.
You know, and not give up. And we are family. You know, even though we may not, all of us kind of sit in the dark or in the back and everything, but we can't wait. Every Sunday, we can't wait to come to this place.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I take everybody home.
Thank you,
Jesus. I really do. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I think that one of the greatest challenges that anybody that is conducting or so-called, and we're not, I'm not, but as a leader and as one of the elders, knowing when and to allow you the opportunity to go or to stay. And, you know, I'm just so ready. Just so ready to be done with myself and religion. Just let Him come and come and come. I'm just so ready to be out of His way. So please pray for me. Not just this service, but I'm real hungry. I know you are too. And I love all of you so much. So, what's being testified, I can show you, we can just go right back into it. And I guess the easiest way for me to get off the hook is just to say I'm going to turn you loose whenever you feel like you're ready to go. But if you do go, I'm not worried about this offering. I'm not worried about anything. I just want you to be filled. Stretch yourself from time to time. About the time you feel like I've got a liberty, I can go now, hold yourself a little longer. And you'll find sometimes you weren't quite done. And about the next time you feel like, well, I'm good now, stretch yourself a little bit. You'll find that your wineskin keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I want us to burst around here sometime in the future. So Harry's going to lift it up. We're going to go right back into worship. And again, remember in His love, there is no condemnation. It's just, whenever you get ready to leave, please do it reverently, quietly, because we'll still continue to worship God, create that atmosphere. But I want us, as the good ground that we've heard this morning, to just let that continue to be saturated in us. As you're leaving this morning, you can give as you will, as you want to. We love you. Let's just worship. Let's go right back into it, because it's so easy to go back into it. We love you. You can sit or stand. It doesn't matter. We worship you, Jesus. You can go right back into those songs. Right out of your heart.
Sitting here praying, I just was reminded of 1985. I know Elvis was still dead at that time, but I was reminded of 1985. I was living in Colorado, and I told Bronk and Candy the story before, and it was just so vivid in my mind what praying in tongues does, and what spending the time in the Lord and worshiping, and as I was sitting alongside of any. What took place there? I was not born again at that time. I was running. I was dying. I had no hope left of really anything, and I would have been really surprised if I would have seen 30 years old at that time in my life, and I was 27. I had pretty much abandoned my family, abandoned everything, and had lived a real lonely life for 10 years prior because of drug addiction. And I moved in 1984 about 7-8 times in 1 year, thinking a geographical change would help my situation. See, I remember the Lord when I was a young boy walking out in the woods. I talked to him. I knew he was real. And I knew he saved my life many, many times. I'm just reminded of this. I'm reminded of seeing these three women. I woke up from a party. I had fell asleep on the couch of this place. I don't even know whose place it was. And there was three women crying over me, praying. And as I woke out of that sleep, I saw her. I didn't see the other two, but there, I felt them. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. So never let the enemy steal your time in prayer. Because you don't even know what's going on. You don't know who you're reaching. You don't know who you're talking to. I saw as I woke up, and I ran outside to see where they went. Got a glimpse of that one. I didn't see the other two, but felt them. So I just wanted to share that it's just God paints a picture of hope in our hearts. And I'll tell you what, don't ever let go of that picture of hope. The enemy tries to steal it. And in the last 10 years being here, I asked the same thing that Pastor asked. When I got born again in 1986, I said, Lord, I'm so tired of the lies. I'm so tired of the lies. Please give me the truth. And I'll tell you what, he's very, very faithful to what you ask him. He brought me here to the truth. And I never forget that. I'll never forget it. So when Pastor even said that the other day, he's like, Lord, I'm sick of the lies. Sick of the doctrines. Sick of the denominations and all the other things. Just tired of it. Just want the truth, Lord. He's very, very faithful to bring that to pass. And that's all I asked him, just simply, not even knowing what I asked. But I'll tell you, intercession is such a powerful, powerful thing. We don't even know what's going on in the background, and God can take it and move it in 10 different directions. He can pull a submarine out of the depths, and the whole bunch that Dave talked about, the whole bunch in that submarine, because of a little one of the crewmen's grandmothers said, well, I can't pray, but I know she can. And 2 o'clock in the morning, at that time that the captain asked if anybody can pray, this would be the time, because we're sinking. And if we reach below 600 feet, we're going to all die. And this little grandma, that sailor's grandma, crawled out of bed as usual, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, started praying, got on her face with her best friend and started interceding, and that submarine started raising from the depths just like that. There was no power left in it. They were sunk, man. They were done. And then Dave told that after that thing, after it raised to the surface, those men could not wait to meet that sailor's grandma so they could get saved. So we just never know what we're doing and how precious that time is. And that, I mean, that's my testimony, that, and it's the absolute truth. Absolutely. I saw it. Because I wondered, so why is one taken and one left, Lord? And, you know, and then we got that broken down, and because of intercession. So when we intercede, we're covering the lost ones. I didn't know Vinny. I didn't know Miss Candy. I didn't know Immokalee, Florida. I lived in Minnesota. I lived in Colorado at that time. Running. Didn't know that I could live any other way. And then that hope came. So I just want to encourage you. Just want to tell you. My. Thank you, Jesus.